Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets.
It's all about the Badgers.
Go Badgers!
Go Badgers! Go Badgers!
Games like this is what really separates college football from everything else.
Open up the history books. Here comes Rondell.
That was J.J. Watt, and what a story this young man is.
Gordon again! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
And the pass rush gets home for the Badgers.
Camp Randall lets it roar.
An unrivaled fan base. The best college sports town in the world. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Game show brewed by Coors Light. Corey Sparks, Adam Mertz, and Riley Yauch here with you at the Seminole Tap in Fitchburg. We are on 100.5 ESPN Madison and the ESPN Madison and Milwaukee YouTube channels. If you cannot access either of those and you have the handy dandy ESPN Wisconsin app, lucky for you, we are on there as well. 13-10 win for Wisconsin over a 23rd ranked Washington team. First ranked victory against since 2021. Where Wisconsin beat number 9 Iowa. So the first win against a ranked opponent in the Luke Fickell era. Jubilation across Camp Randall. Jesse Nelson just sent me a video of the field storming. We're going to get to that. We are going to get to that. But first, we have our drive of the game, and boy, do we have options.
It's the drive of the game.
He's got the corner, and the Badgers touchdown answers quickly.
On ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
The Badgers punctuating and pulling away.
The drive of the game is brought to you by Chalmers Jewelers, helping guys score for more than 25 years.
Typically, when someone says we have options, it means like a lot of good options.
Yeah.
This team scored 13 points, but Mertzi, you were going up and down the drives in our break, and you're going, well, our longest drive was 58 yards, but it was turnover on downs back in the first. There was a 31-yard drive in there, but that resulted in a missed field goal. It was actually the shorter drives today, Riley, that Wisconsin converted on and scored on. Thank you very much, Mason Posa, for 7 of those 13 points, right? But, Riley, I'll let you kick us off. I know we were scheming over a couple of different options. What was your drive of the game presented by Chalmers Jewelers today?
Yeah, it's wild. Our three scoring drives totaled 47 yards as a whole. Like, that is just wild. Like, the fact that they got a win with 47 yards contributing to scoring drives is just insane. But I'm gonna go with the obvious one. The touchdown drive, two plays, a whole 7 yards in 40 seconds. That's Badgers football right there, taking advantage of the fantastic situation. Your defense puts you in, and finally putting 6 on the board. Only what, their second touchdown? It's their second touchdown in as many games, which is nice, but I can't remember how many quarters it was. What, it was 15 quarters before they scored?
Yeah, dry spell. Yes.
So, yes. And that was in the fourth quarter, so now this is the second touchdown in 19 quarters.
Oh, wow.
So only the second touchdown in 19 quarters, but man, was it big, and man, did it feel good.
That is unreal. I was going to go with the field goal that ended up ultimately winning it. 6 plays for 22 yards, 2:43 off the clock. Mertzi, you and I can share this one. I'm going to go the last drive of the game. 2 plays, minus 5 yards, a minute 08. Why? Because it was the last minute and 8 seconds of the game, and it sealed the first victory in 2 months. That felt so good today.
Because I don't think even with the Miami game or even the Middle Tennessee game, I'm pretty sure we just ran out the clock. Like, we haven't been in victory formation in so long. probably since Rutgers or Northwestern of last year.
Right.
A 23-3 win on the road. Like, that was the last time we actually just got to get into victory formation, take a knee, and salt away a victory over a Power 4 squad. And today it's the 23rd ranked team in the land. So it feels
so
feels pretty darn good.
844-770-3776 is the Caribou CSPN Wisconsin talk and text line. Liz is more. All of you at home, make sure you experience a banking relationship where your goals are their priority. As a community bank with a commitment to Dane County, Starion Bank redefines local banking in the Madison area. Visit one of their convenient branches in Middleton, Sun Prairie, or Monona today or online at StarionBank.com. Mertz.com. We have Pablo Iglesias on the phone. Before we get to him, very quickly, Mertzy, I want to make sure that we do address this, and we can do it more throughout the show.
Mm-hmm.
But you brought up a very important statement that in order for today to really mean something in the grand scheme of things, Wisconsin needs to find a way to validate today's performance. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, so I think a lot of us coming into today's game said, hey, maybe this team can hang in there long enough that you can steal the axe back and just get a performance where everyone just says, whatever, we're going to win today against a Minnesota team that's been flailing lately.
Yep.
So I think that's still on the line. What I fear out of this is that it's just going to be a hollow win over time. Can the Badgers come out? I don't expect them to beat Indiana next week. I don't think anyone does. Can you put up a good showing? Can you put up a showing like you put up against Oregon?
Yeah.
Can you play that tough and make them earn it? Can you steal one against Brett coming here in two weeks? And then can you get the axe? So, I mean, I would say that I need one more win for sure, and I need three consistent performances, not two. Three. I need to see, like, these guys be able to respond out of this. Give Indiana a game, really push Illinois, if not get one, and win at Minnesota. Otherwise, meh, you know, this was a great day.
Yep.
But what does it really mean?
Mm-hmm. And if they do that, would you say it's fair to assess that's five games in a row, including the game against Oregon and, of course, today the win, where this team played really good football?
Yeah.
At least in some capacity. I know offense is going to be ugly, and it might be for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But the effort, the high motor plays, and especially the defense, which if we were talking about identity before, we can bring it up again, is going to be this team's calling card for the remainder of the 2025 season.
Absolutely, because I think what the goal is right now, I know that the bowl is still out there theoretically.
Theoretically.
It's still out there theoretically, whatever. What you're building toward is next year and showing that there's actually some promise in what's going on out here. They're limited by personnel offensively at this point. I think you just have to acknowledge that and say we're going to try to get through this year on that standpoint. But you can't just be going to the finish line and going through the motions, which is what I felt before today. That's what it's felt like for a lot of the last month was like, okay, everyone expects us to kind of just lose out, and that's what we're going to do. And we're not going to do anything to change your mind about how you should feel about this program. We're just going to – it's blind faith. Trust that just automatically somehow in the off season we can reset, we can hire some new mercenaries and come in here and change something. It has to start in the locker room. It has to start in the locker room. You can buy all the players you want.
Yep.
That does not buy you heart. That does not buy you cohesion. And so you need to see those fundamentals come here and have something to build on, some level of hope going into 26.
Yeah. Very well played. And dare I say, this could be the beginnings of Luke Fickell establishing his culture at Wisconsin. You need to see results despite what Chris McIntosh says. You need to see wins to establish a positive culture.
Those do matter.
Yes, they matter significantly.
Yep.
And we haven't talked about Chris McIntosh today.
How much does he hate that he said that?
He's got to.
How much does he hate that?
He had to regret that immediately once it came out of his mouth.
He knew that's not what he felt.
Yes. And I hate listening to Chris McIntosh talk, but it's a positive day. It's a great day to be.
Talk more about that in the next segment.
Exactly. Yeah. To be a Badgers fan. But like you were saying, Mertzy, like what we've been missing from Luke Fickell's Wisconsin teams is growth and consistent building upon the positive steps they've taken. We saw it last year. After good games, hard-fought games against Penn State and Oregon that they couldn't finish off, they just imploded against Nebraska and Minnesota and Iowa in between. And we haven't seen anything actually sustain itself. So now, finally, they get over the hump. They beat a team, a ranked team, that's better than them.
They actually won.
They win.
Not just a moral win.
Exactly. A real W. The real UW, you could say. Wisconsin. On Wisconsin. You rah-rah. But we finally see a real W. So now, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
Can you, like you said, just test Indiana? They got tested tough against Penn State today, so I think they're gonna have a difficult week of practice, and they're gonna be ready to fire on all cylinders against Wisconsin. It's gonna be tough to beat them, but Illinois is gettable. They haven't looked after a hot start. They haven't looked great.
They're in a free fall right
Minnesota
now.
Is not a good team whatsoever. No. They just have an easier schedule than Wisconsin does, so that's very gettable. So can we see that consistent growth under Luke Fickell And if we do, we're going to look back at today's game and be like, that's the turning point. Yep. That was the moment. And hopefully that's what we see.
Very well said. Hopefully today is a turning point and not just a one-off. Corey Sparks, Adam Mertz, and Riley Yauch here with you. Pablo Iglesias from The Jump Around joins us, a Badger-dedicated podcast on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. Pablo, it is so great to hear from you over the phone after a victory. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing just as fantastic as you guys right now. I think, if anything, we've seen three quarterbacks today. Mertz's usually not on the post-game show. It kind of feels like, ironically, too, with Carter Smith coming in, maybe being the X-Factor. Mertz, I think we got to keep you on the post-game squad if this X-Factor. Is the case. I know you love being out on Regent Street, but listen, sometimes that's what it takes. That's exactly what we saw out here, too. Wisconsin had to take a risk. It had to change things up in the lineup. Mertz, I think this might have to be the case here tonight.
I love it, Pablo. You know, I'll do whatever I can for the program. I'm a team player. I'm a TEAM player.
Yes.
So, Pablo, that was acknowledged. Of course, Mertz referring to the TEAM vest that typically is visible for Luke Fickell. You, I believe, were telling us it was on. Luke Fickell has been wearing the vest, but it was covered, obviously, today. Every time the Big Ten Network took him to program and we saw Luke Fickell on live television, we didn't see that. And it sounds like he's hanging it up now. So how about the coach acknowledging the hate that vest has gotten and possibly putting it in the closet?
It's very much easier to answer that question after a win like this, too. Don't get me wrong, guys. It was asked
that,
towards the end of it after the post-game questions were asked, and he did address those. But I think he did acknowledge it was actually under the hoodie. But the big thing, too, was like that today he and the staff wore that hoodie in honor of Veterans Day. He mentioned that that his father was a Vietnam War veteran. Means a lot to him. Very special. So I think that was a good moment. One, he did get to keep the vest, but he even said, too, he's like, you know what, if people are if this is what it takes, take off the team vest, you know what, maybe I will have to change it up. So again, it just seems like we're trying out new things across the board. So it was fun again. Just in general, though, too, just to say, guys, like, obviously, yes, winning is contagious. It's very much the Barry Alvarez-ism is, and that's what he was asked about, too, is winning genuinely is contagious. You could see it across the board. You could tell that, obviously, everybody's feeling good about this. They know the week that they went through, too. And Luke Fickell was pretty straightforward. He did ask reporters to talk about the game first, and he would address any other questions from the events that led up going into this week, essentially. So, obviously, a tougher week, but you could tell just smiling from ear to ear. You could even, honestly, us as reporters, we're walking in there kind of laughing, going back and forth. And Luke Fickell walked in before he got to the mic and said, I'm glad you guys are smiling, too. So, again, just good vibes right now. Obviously, still a lot of work to do, but you know what? All in all, a win's a win, and that's all you could ask for at the end of the day.
That's what I was about to ask you about, Pablo. Just what would take us into the post-game press conference? What was the atmosphere like? Because we have seen firsthand, you have seen firsthand, so many just downtrodden post-game press conferences. I have seen very melancholic weekly press conferences after brutal losses and throughout all this turmoil this season. What was it like? How you mentioned the laughing and the smiling. Can you just paint the picture for us of the post-game press conference?
Yeah, I think a video that actually I came across on social media was when Carter Smith, he was one of the last guys to go into the locker room. And understandably, you're a true freshman, and you get that feedback, you get that return of everybody. Essentially, it's like you win the World Series or something like that. You win the national championship. You know what it is right now, like I said. But it's still a win's a win. And to get that type of response, to get that type of excitement, I asked Riley Mullman, and he said he didn't remember exactly what the words that he said to Carter Smith were when he walked out onto that field to get him calm and ready to go. But honestly, he said, if anything, Carter Smith was already calm. He said he was already ready to go. That's who he is. That's his demeanor. That's who he is as a young cat. Very impressive from Carter Smith to have that composure. So, again, just kind of seeing it from the outside of how guys reacted to him, it was very well deserved. And Fickell even said, too, in the opening statement, sometimes, you know, just because you work hard at something, just because you work for it, doesn't mean that it's just going to be given to you. That doesn't mean that, you know, everything that you work for is just automatically given to you. You got to go out and get it. And he tips his cap off to the guys that continue to work, that continue to put their heads down and just work hard. Rico Hallman, too, I even asked him, I'm like, were you guys anticipating this defense to finally blow up? Were you waiting for this? What was that moment? And he said, I've had confidence in this defense since week one. I know that this is a defense that was able to do what we did tonight. And I think that just speaks volumes. There's a lot of confidence across the board, Riley. I know that we've talked to a lot of players, too, and tried to see, like, what the heck's going on? What's going on in the locker room? But you can tell that everybody stuck together, and I believe that today was just a really, really true definition of what happens when you just lock arms and try to make sure that you do everything you can to get a win.
Pablo, I know it's probably too early to ask this question, but just thinking ahead to next week in terms of the quarterbacking position and the path forward for Wisconsin. Were there any indications there in terms of like, hey, this is Carter's job? And did you also get any feeling at all in terms of how limited they made him in terms of the passing game? How much they scaled back the playbook? Why they just can't get anything going offensively and through the air?
It still seemed like that the strategy was close to the hip. I mean, again, when you're running with three quarterbacks, it seems like that. Even though, yes, you don't want to run with three quarterbacks, there is still a strategy behind it, believe it or not, the method to the madness, if you will. That seems like in terms of where we're at long term, who knows? I am excited, though. I do feel like that going into next week, like what type of challenge do you bring? I don't know. I mean, maybe you do decide to roll with them. Maybe you do decide to do this dual split. We don't know much about Danny O'Neill, unfortunately, who went down and was carted off at. I'm not going to lie, that was pretty tough to see, I think, for all of us. So we'll see what happens with that one. But if it is split between Simmons and Carter Smith, I mean, honestly, look, I know you're going full out, no water wings whatsoever into the shark tank when they're all already swarming. You're just waiting for you to drop into the ocean. But you know what? Why not just do it for Carter Smith? You've already got to win. You know what? A lot of the talk was, why not just go for it? If he loses his red shirt, or if he plays in these four games, he doesn't lose his red shirt. And you may or may not go 0-4 anyway, so why not go for it, go for the risk? And you know what? It's the risk so far has potentially paid off. Now, am I saying that they're going to go into Bloomington and upset Indiana? No, but I would say why not? Why not keep riding the hot hand? Why not just go for it? I mean, it might feel like it's a loose house money thing right now. Just keep riding the hot hand. You don't leave a table when you're on a heater right now. So if you want to go with Carter Smith next week, why not is my plan.
Well, and at least for him, right? Let's say that they don't run the table and get into a bowl game and that eligibility kerfuffle doesn't even surface. It's free experience for Carter Smith right now. I mean, he could go out there and go 3-for-12 for the next three games. And if they win one of them, heck if we care, right? But two, it's more experience for him. It's more live reps, and he still gets four fresh years of NCAA Division I eligibility if he wants to use it. Pablo, I almost called you Carter. Pablo, we appreciate you so much for joining. Fun one for you. Cooper Catalano was on our airwaves this week and snapped off for a 19-tackle performance. Sources are saying whoever jumps on the ESPN Wisconsin airwaves before their Badger game against a Big Ten opponent is going to pop off. Who do you have on deck for next week?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Who could we manifest? I mean, Coop, why don't we just keep riding? Again, if I said we're going to ride with the hot hand, we could definitely do that with Cooper Catalano. Ooh, I'd have to take a step back and think about it.
Or Pablo.
Oh, man, you're really putting me on the spot here.
Mesa on this coming week.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's just the tip of the cap again to let the young guys play. Let the young guys ball out. And I think, again, you see Carter Smith. Obviously, he was the big one because he's under center. But Mason Posa, Cooper Catalano, Fickle said this earlier in the season, that a lot of these true freshmen, a lot of these young guys, he's not afraid to play them. We didn't see much from Eugene Hilton necessarily. But still, it's just like those are an example of guys that are starting to come in, starting to get those reps, starting to feel like that they are really making a difference on this team. They're young guys. They're going to get some opportunities. Gideon Atuka, too. He balled out a little bit. He ended up leading the team in rushing yards. Unfortunately, I think a little bit of the, maturity situations and the growth of that unsportsmanlike penalty, that wasn't the best situation. Don't get me wrong. But that is a learning that's going to be for sure used as hopefully at least a learning lesson, a time to grow, a time to understand and reflect. Okay, how can I not do that? And again, that is a slight risk that you run when you put out these younger guys. But all in all, I mean, again, when you see these young guys put their heads down, and Cooper Catalano even said this past week, his why is for the seniors. His why is for a lot of the guys that, you know, that know what Wisconsin football has been like over the last few years and want to keep winning. Guys like Aaron Witts and so many different seniors. Riley Mullman, too, just had a huge smile, understandably, ear to ear after a moment like this. So I think there's no other way to put it. It's just awesome. It's just a good feeling to know that Cooper Catalano, from what he had said earlier on the jump around this week, which you could hear Thursday at 12:30. You could also run that interview back on ESPN Madison's YouTube channel, by the way, a little plug there. That, again, it's for the seniors. It's for this group. And ultimately, again, it's just really great to see that this team is genuinely for each other.
Pablo, one more from me. Last time the Badgers successfully ran a fake punt with Sean West, Fickell was asked about it in his postgame presser, and he admitted that he did not plan it. I heard on the radio broadcast today from Matt LePay that they have been practicing this particular fake punt for a long time. Did anyone ask about the fake punt? Did Fickell talk about the fake punt and why he decided to bust it out tonight at all?
You know, he wasn't asked about that, but I do remember it was the I just remember, what was it, something about, I think it was the sketch quote, one of the, what was the video gamer who's on Twitch. It was basically just thinking special teams, special players, special plays was the first thing that came to my mind. So fortunately, no questions asked about the fake punt, but you know what, if you're practicing that and you got to execute it, this was the week to do it. This was the opportunity to do it. Sorry to disappoint, but you know what, we saw exactly in an ugly weather game like this, those plays matter. Those are the things, Riley, I think you guys were all talking about this, is that Wisconsin's been in these games before against ranked opponents. They've been in these tight games, but they've never been able to finish it out. They've never been able to shut it down. And obviously we could go back and talk about the what-ifs, but right now, let's not talk about the what-ifs, and let's talk about what Wisconsin did today, and that's execute as best as they could under the circumstances they were facing this week.
Yeah, and Fickell's gotten a lot of flack for coaching scared and quitting on the team by not calling timeouts at the end of halves and at the end of games. He did not coach scared today.
He put the
chips
on
the
table.
He was going after it, and that was one of the play calls. Even though the drive didn't end up leading to points, that was still a gutsy call that paid off.
Absolutely. Pablo, we appreciate you joining, man. Again, I said it at the beginning of the call, but it is so awesome to talk to you always, but especially after a win.
All right, appreciate you, boys. Have a good evening.
Awesome stuff. That
Thanks,
is
Pablo.
The Thank you, Pablo.
The one, the only Pablo Iglesias. When we come back, we have been teasing it. We will talk about it. Chris McIntosh's declaration that Luke Fickell will be the head coach in 2026. We'll also go over our Metro Fort Madison College football scoreboard update here on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
And rushes the field.
A program battered. Beaten down by injury. A fan base weary. A team worn out. On Wisconsin, for Wisconsin. Winners once again.
Laying in a hammock where it's nice and breezy. And sleeping off the night.
Well done. We got the field storming in there as we roll on in the ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day postgame show. We will talk about that, the field storming in a 13-10 victory against 23rd-ranked Washington, albeit the first win for Wisconsin in general in about 2 months. So you know there was a lot of pent-up energy that crowd was looking to spend. Metro Ford of Madison is Madison's trusted Ford dealer, whether you need to purchase, finance, or service a new or pre-owned Ford. Metro Ford's the place to go. Visit Metro Ford of Madison on the east side today, or go to their website, metrofordofmadison.com, to see this month's specials and browse their inventory. And now the master of scoreboards, Riley Yauch.
Yes, it is time for our Metro Ford of Madison scoreboard update. I'll take you around college football and the top 25 scores across the country. Starting with the game still in action, Wake Forest up 13-9 over Virginia, 14th-ranked Virginia. Potential upset brewing in the ACC as they reach the end of the third quarter. Cal also giving 15th-ranked Louisville a run for their money. They're up 23-20 at the end of the third. Alabama, they're in control over LSU. Just starting the third quarter, they lead 17-3. At home, Notre Dame cruising over Navy in the middle of the third. They lead it 35-10 over the Midshipmen. And now for some final scores, Ohio State rolling over Purdue 35-10. Ho-hum, another boring performance for the Buckeyes, but they continue to win. Indiana survives a scare late, and if you have not seen the catch made for the game-winning touchdown, you need to go watch it with Gus Johnson's call. It is spectacular. You cannot draw it up any better. And the refereeing as well nailed the touchdown call. Indiana Hoosiers stay unbeaten 27-24 over Penn State. Number 3, Texas A&M knocks off number 22, Missouri, 38-17. However, Mizzou without their starting quarterback, Bo Prabula. The Tigers probably will be limping to the end of their season. Number 5, Georgia crushes Mississippi State 41-21. Go Dogs, right, Mertzi?
Oh, no.
Number 6, Ole Miss. This is ridiculous. I hate the SEC scheduling. They play the Citadel and win 49-0. The Citadel, great school out in Charleston, South Carolina. Number 8, Texas Tech knocks BYU out of the ranks of the unbeaten. They win 29-7. Good for Mertzi, not good for me when it comes to our pregame national picks. I believe I remain in last place thanks to that. However, Mertzi's upset bid and prediction with the Iowa Hawkeyes falls just short as number 9 Oregon survives on a last-second field goal to beat Iowa 18-16. Mertzi, you predicted that upset. Before I finish off these last few, any thoughts on Oregon beating Iowa?
Hey, huge credit to the Ducks for pulling that one out because I thought that that was marked for an upset, the way that Oregon struggled offensively and the way that Iowa's been playing quiet. No one's had them on the radar at all. They were, to me, one of those fringe playoff teams. Not that they were maybe worthy, but I thought that they could stack those wins together, and today might have put them over the hump.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree, that's for sure. Oregon now 8-1 on the season. They control their own destiny for the college football playoff. People are going to give Indiana crap for barely beating Penn State today. They better be keeping that same energy for Vanderbilt, who needs overtime to beat Auburn 45-38. Vanderbilt moves to 8-2. Miami handles business against Syracuse. USC beats Northwestern on Friday night. And Wisconsin knocks off the 23rd-ranked Huskies 13-10 in a fantastic, potentially monumental victory for Luke Fickell and the Badgers.
Whoop it up.
And that is it for our Metro Ford of Madison scoreboard update.
Very nicely done, Riley. Around the Big Ten, a couple of teams got a scare, right? Number 9, Oregon got a scare, 18-16 over Iowa. You mentioned Indiana, possibly the catch of the year to seal
amazing
off that victory, 27-24. But it was Wisconsin who pulls off the upset, 13-10 over Washington. And the fans, who was able to get out there with the weather, and pretty decent showing considering the snow was whipping down sideways, as it still is here in Fitchburg. The fans stormed the field. I'm just going to go across the panel here. Mertzi, yay or nay, because this is a divisive topic.
Everyone expects the old man here to be the to deliver get off my lawn comment,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You're not going to get it.
Ooh,
you're not going to get it. So I will go way back, and I'll give you my explanation on this. I was in the stands in 93 when the stampede against Michigan happened, when the security did not let fans onto the field and people got crushed up against the wall. That was a legitimate game that deserved a field rushing. It was not allowed. The reason why it was so natural at that point was, like, it was fun. It was an over-the-moment. It was an over-the-hill moment for that program. It was college football. It was all the beauty of it. Does this get old? Does it get played? Absolutely. But anyone understands what this Badger football program has been through, what these fans have been through. Like, it's been torture watching these games. Torture. And those people showed up today in this mess to watch a game that you thought they probably were just going to lose again and roll over, and they managed to pull it out. Hell yeah, they deserve to be on that field.
Damn right, Mertzi. Could not agree more as another one of two young men on the panel. My last field-storming memory, go back to a little more recent history, 2021. Mm-hmm. The last time we saw that game mentioned on the TV broadcast many times today, last ranked win for the Badgers was against number 9 Iowa back in 2021. I was actually on the call of that game for WSUM, Wisconsin, nice. our student radio station. So unfortunately, I didn't get to participate in the field rush, but I got to see the game and witness it from the press box up at Camp Randall Stadium, which was sensational. And I've seen a lot of critiques and complaints, even in our YouTube chat from Lag7164. She says, or he or she says, it feels weird as a Badgers fan of a traditional rich decades. Felt like it was Barry's second year all over again, and that Bucky had never been there, beating a number 24 before. And I think that hits the nail on the head. I understand why it feels weird or some people don't like it, but in this new era, in this Luke Fickell era of Wisconsin, we haven't been there before.
No, this
is the first time in this era, in this time period of Badgers football. This is our getting over the hump moment.
Yep.
And I think, like you said, for just how brutal it's been in these elements, it's just been gut-wrenching loss after gut-wrenching loss, and when it's not gut-wrenching, it's just a blowout. Yep. Everything has been painful. Nothing has been easy. Nothing has been fun. So finally, you beat a ranked team. You get that monkey off your back. Yes, go celebrate. Storm the field. Jump around with your classmates, your players. That's what makes college football so fun and so special. I absolutely love that they stormed the field today. It was great.
And with that, we're 3 for 3. I'm not going to oppose it. Yeah. If you do disagree with us, 844-770-3776, or if you agree with us and want to make it 4-0, a clean sweep in that way, you could do that too. I'm a believer that everything deserves its context. And so if Wisconsin was 4-4, 5-3 coming into today, and they were 4.5-point dogs, and they pull off a win against Washington, ranked 23rd in the country, no, we shouldn't storm the field. If Wisconsin had been, you know, well above 500 the last couple of years and had been consistently pulling off victories against ranked opponents, and that last time Wisconsin beat a ranked opponent stat, instead of it being 4 years old, was really like 11 months old or even a couple of weeks old, no, you shouldn't do it. But to Riley's point, in one of the comments that said, play like you've been there before, in the Luke Fickell era, if we are fresh off of a six-game losing streak, multiple announcements from athletic director Chris McIntosh against everyone out there in the outside noise realm's belief that Luke Fickell should be gone, he is backing his coach up. The guy is taking verbal abuse online. Whether or not he sees it, he's hearing it secondhand at some point. He's a human being. And for them, 48 hours after Chris McIntosh comes out saying, hey, he's our guy in 2026, even if everybody out there despises the decision it's mine to make, for them to pull off this win when they haven't had a victory in 2 months against a ranked team, yeah, you storm the field. I don't care if they're 25th in the country.
Yeah.
This had a lot of meaning behind it, and they deserved to do it. And they were still double-digit underdogs. If you want to like ask what my rule of thumb is, once you get into that territory, you're allowed to do it too. So it's not like the spread was thin. It's not like this team had done this a few weeks ago. And it's not like anybody in college football, relative to their expectations, has it worse than Wisconsin right now. So they deserve to storm the field.
Corey, you know, like you made a good point, too, that it is Washington. It is a ranked team.
Yep.
If this is the Citadel, you know, coming in today.
Yeah.
No, you don't, you're not able to rush the field.
Right, yes. Right.
Sorry, no offense to the Citadel. Yeah. But that's the context does matter.
It's a good football team.
It really does matter. And, you know, the one thing that I would think about, too, and I was going to check and research this, who else have the Badgers beat that's a ranked team since 2019? Has there been another one? Probably not, right? If we're going back to 2021, they didn't really beat anyone in 2020 that was of merit. There was a bad Michigan team, a bad Illinois team.
Yeah, maybe Michigan was ranked. I think Michigan might have been ranked.
But that's a weird COVID year. There were no fans in the stands.
Right.
So, like, this goes back beyond the time that any of those kids were in school.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting into graduate students at this point.
Yeah.
When they saw good football being played here at Madison on a consistent basis. So,
You
know, hats off.
And going back to that 2021 field storm, I remember being a little like,
That's
about that field storm, because it's Iowa, number one. It's a rival. Yeah, like, yep. You kind of don't do that.
Yeah.
And second, they were number 9 in the country. They were number 2 the week before, but then they were beaten, and I forgot who beat them, but they rushed the field after beating Iowa. And it seemed like the students, the next week it was like, okay, they just got beat when they were undefeated, the number 2 team in the country. That makes sense to storm the field. Now, I'm pretty sure we were even favored in that game to win, and it's like, what are we doing here? Like, this doesn't really make much sense. People just – but it was 2021, COVID. Everyone just wanted to have, like, that experience.
That moment.
So I get it, but that was a little – I feel like that was less defensible than tonight's
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. Everything's got its context, and tonight was a long time coming. We didn't know when it was going to happen. That being a win, and a win against a ranked opponent at that, and for it to come again just 48 hours after Mac's declaration that Luke Fickell would be coming back, pretty good timing.
Lots of emotions.
Oh,
lots of emotions. One small addendum, when I was out at Oregon, they made an announcement like in the middle of fourth quarter, like every game there, they let people out 5 to 7 minutes after the game has ended onto the field.
Oh, what?
So, like, if you want to get your pictures or whatever else, be part of the experience, it's there. So that's also this thing, too. There's this allure of something you're not allowed to do.
Yes.
So you're going to take advantage of that opportunity, that rare opportunity when you're allowed to do it. And that's part of the thrill of storming the field. And I don't know about the psychology behind that. Maybe that works. You know, like, hey, if you're going to do it after every game.
Yeah,
ah,
who cares? Yeah.
Who cares?
What, can we remember the last time Oregon has stormed the field?
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I'll admit, I haven't paid super close attention.
Yeah.
They've been very good, so it doesn't happen
but
as much.
Point,
but
though, that is a statement on where this program's at.
Yes.
And if that's what you're sad about, that's fair. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that it shouldn't have happened tonight.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that you still can't take joy in the fact that we won. Yes.
Yeah.
Is this program where anyone wants it to be still? No. Not even close.
Nope.
But tonight we won, and tonight we celebrate present tense and future tense.
Riley's not done.
No, sir, I am not. There may be some Coors Lights consumed after this postgame show wraps up, that's for sure. So tonight we enjoy this, and then Monday when we meet Luke Fickell for the press conference, then it can get serious again.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And speaking of that, great segue, Riley. ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day is presented to you by Coors Light. When you need to refresh on game day, choose a beer that's as cold as the Rockies. Cold filtered, cold lagered, and cold packaged for peak refreshment. When the mountains are blue, you know what to do, and it's what Riley's going to do tonight.
Crush a Coors Light.
2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Scott from Fort Worth is on the line.
Plural.
We will take him. Yeah. Oh, many. Per person, per capita. Scott from Fort Worth is on the line. We will take his
Let's
call.
Let's go.
On the other
We've
end
been waiting
break.
For yes. Scott.
We'll take him right on the other end of the break here on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Welcome back to our party here on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light. Wisconsin, 13-10 victors over 23rd-ranked Washington at home. They storm the field. Corey Sparks, Adam Mertz, and Riley Yauch here with you. We have helmet stickers coming up. But first, 844-770-3776 is the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text Line. List is more. That's the number that our day one A1, Scott in Fort Worth, used. Post-engagement party, or are you still there, Scott?
Hi, right, thanks for taking my call. No, it was my boss's engagement party. We're driving home now.
There we go. Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So I was.
How much of the game were you able to watch,
Scott? Half of the game.
Okay.
I watched the whole first half, and I was really pissed we only had like 8 yards passing at the half.
Yep.
Yeah, and so.
That's
but
very fair.
The defense came to play. It was filthy. That defense is filthy. And I hope they use it as a building block and at least compete against Indiana next week to show that they're building on something. But 48 yards passing ain't going to get it done next week against Indiana. But as far as tonight goes, I'm happy to eat crow. I'm happy they won a game in a Big Ten and get that monkey off their back. I just hope the fellas can build off of it since we're stuck with Fickell, which I'm not happy about. I still don't think the guys should be around. But it was nice that the guys had some pride tonight and really stuck it to Washington. That was about as filthy as a defensive performance as I've seen from the Badgers in a long time. And so it was a good, solid win, and I'm really happy for them. I'm just not happy that Fickell's sticking around for the party for another year, because unless they run the table most of this year and next year, you know what will get me off Fickell's back this year is if he takes the axe back.
I was going to say, what's it going to take?
Yep.
If he gets the axe back and maybe they steal one against Illinois, are you on the Fickell train, or are you at least feeling like you can be negotiated with a little bit to jump back on it?
If he can, and I hate Illinois. I hope they beat Illinois. But the main thing for me is the axe. I mean, if you're not going to make a bowl game this year, the axe game has got to be your bowl game, and that's the ultimate pride. From being from Wisconsin, take the axe back and nothing else.
Well said.
Yeah. Totally agree with everything you're saying, Scott, except I think I like Fickell a lot more than you do. But I understand I'm in the minority when it comes to that camp. But, yes, exactly. We have been talking about that all night. Like, this has to be a building block. Yep. This can't just be a one-off. Mertzi said it earlier. If they lose out now, it's going to be an incredibly hollow victory, and we're going to look back on this like, man, this was fun, but it didn't amount to anything. So can they grow? And that's been the biggest issue, or one of the biggest on-field issues for these Luke Fickell-led squads, is that they'll play a team tough, and usually it's been moral victories up until this point,
yep.
But then they're not able to sustain any positive momentum. They're not able to drive any good consistency forward. If it's consistency, it's been bad consistency. So now they finally they beat a ranked team. They beat a team that's more talented than them with just a stingy, gritty, gutsy defensive performance. Now can you do that, because they had a great performance defensively against Oregon last week, can you do that 3 weeks in a row against three really talented offenses? And like you said, and like we've been saying, like, you don't need to steal a win against Indiana, but play them tough, make them work for it, and then beat Illinois, or at least play them tough. I think Illinois is beatable. Beat Illinois, and then you have to get the axe back. I am in full agreement with you, Scott. That is what they're playing for this season. And to generate, show that you're growing, show that you are consistently doing positive things, and head into next season with some good momentum moving forward.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, well damn right.
Scott, we
I didn't know if I was still on the air or not. If I was kind of like, am I still on or not?
No, yeah, you are.
You're always on. Whenever you want, call in, Scott. We appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Thanks, brother. You guys are great.
Awesome. Good stuff. That is Scott from Fort Worth, who, to his credit, right, there's a lot of people. He made the statement after the 42-10 victory against Middle Tennessee State. That's the last win that Wisconsin's going to get. And
yep.
And that was very much in play.
Yeah.
That was very much in play.
It was looking like he was going to be right for a long period of time.
But beyond that, there's a lot of people who will go out there and make that statement, and then when it doesn't come to fruition, duck away. He went out of his way and called the show. So I appreciate that a ton. Scott's a great guy.
That's accountability the
show.
Right
that is
there.
Accountability. It's a good attribute.
And that's I feel like that's a real fan right there.
That
Scott
is.
In Fort Worth, not just because he calls in every week, because he listens to our show, which we obviously really appreciate, but he made a bold proclamation after Middle Tennessee State. They're not going to win another game after this. And he was mostly right. He has been right up until this point, but then they win, and he is such a fan that he is happy to see them succeed. He doesn't like Luke Fickell, but he's happy to see him succeed tonight and get the win and take accountability for his take, which it was a good take. It's been right up until this point, and just own that and still appreciate what the Badgers did tonight, because I have seen a few fans out there who are still just pissed off.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that.
I don't know why.
As a Badgers fan, I can't fathom why you'd be mad tonight.
Yeah. Enjoy the win. Wins matter.
So I think I would voice from that standpoint of things. They're probably worried. They're worried that this is it, that this is the one win, that the rest of the season continues with the same garbage that we've seen. And now, you know, he's got another year, and how much further is this going to go? And so, whatever, this is a distraction from the real problem.
Yep. Mm.
But you got to set that aside. you have to set that aside.
Yep.
If you're a fan of this program, you have to enjoy what you saw tonight. You have to enjoy all the bright spots. There's plenty to critique, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Yep. You won a football game. You won a football game. You pleased the fans. You beat a ranked football team. You gave some life to some young guys in this program who you really want to see succeed. You can't be a hater against the program. You can dislike certain things about the direction, but you have to give it a fair shot to play out and enjoy it. Enjoy tonight.
Absolutely. Yes.
And I don't think there's any bigger proof that wins and losses do matter than when you get a big win. Like, this matters so much.
Right.
Like, we wouldn't be nearly this happy if it was another. If Washington drives down the field, scores a touchdown, wins 17-13.
Here we go. Yeah.
We are depressed on this post-game show. And we're like, well, they played good, though. Like, man, the defense, like, all
that
game up until
nice.
The last drive played great. But it's another loss. Fickle again. Like, they can't get over the – they just can't do it.
I didn't know if this team knew how to win.
Yep,
I'll be real honest.
I wrote that down.
I didn't
down.
Know if this team knew how to win. And like, you can play as well as you want some games, and you're just one of those teams that's always going to fall short, just short. And the fact that these guys managed to pull it out and managed to turn around, and, like, that wasn't a joke. They emphatically finished this game off.
Yeah.
Like, credit – all credit to them.
Yeah. And one thing – that it made me think about, especially after we stormed the field, was last year, and I don't necessarily know if we want to be Nebraska, but Nebraska, after they kicked the snot out of Wisconsin last year, they made a bowl game for the first time in however many years. I think it was eight. I can't remember. It's been a long time
since
Nebraska had made a bowl game. So they rushed the field after beating a really bad Wisconsin team because they made a bowl game.
Yep.
And a lot of people were clowning on Nebraska for rushing the field for a meaningless win or an unimportant win.
Right.
But to that fan base, in those circumstances, that meant a lot. And now look at where they're at. They're making a bowl game for the second straight year under Matt Rhule, and they seem to be trending positively. So I'm just seeing some parallels where, again, this could be a turning point moment where if they continue to build success upon success, winning's contagious, as Pablo said, this could be big.
Man, it'd be nice to have a five-star quarterback, though.
Yeah, that'd be great. I would not complain about
that. I feel a lot better about the situation right
now. I mean, I'm not mad that we don't have Dylan Raiola. I would not enjoy rooting for that guy. Mr. Mahomes look-alike.
Yeah.
Mock Mahomes.
They put him in Arrowhead to start the college football season.
That was ridiculous.
Do
up against like Travis Kelce's former college.
Just corny as all get out. So I'm glad I don't have to root for him. Carter Smith, four-star, maybe.
You know,
I'm happy rooting for him. Happy rooting for him.
So Scott from Fort Worth, who we appreciate calling in, 844-770-3776 is the Cardless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line. List is more. We will parlay the helmet stickers and looking ahead to Indiana into the last block. But before we get to break, guys, Scott brought it up. I've been nudging it down the line because we're just so emphatically happy that this team won a football game. Chris McIntosh made a statement earlier this week, and he backed up his letter from a few weeks ago by not only saying he's going to increase the amount of financial investment into the Wisconsin football program, but that Luke Fickell surely will be the head coach for this football team going in to 2026. Now, that provided clarity. That maybe helped in between the ears with some of these. There's a lot of freshmen on the field, freshmen going out there, possibly feeling some pressure. But, Riley, I want to start with you because I know for a fact that you had the unpopular opinion going into today. How did you feel about the statement as a whole? We'll go two-parter. Max delivery of it. But also the reality of having, because I think that's important, the reality of having Luke Fickell going into next year.
Yeah, so let me start with the negative, and that'd be Max's delivery of it and his media appearances. They're just abysmal. I despise listening to Chris McIntosh talk. It is not enjoyable. He sounds like a politician. He says a lot of words without any substance behind it.
It's word salad.
It is, yes. It is so frustrating. He never actually answers any questions, which is really annoying as a fan who just wants answers about the program I care so deeply about. And I think that opinion is almost universal amongst Badgers fans. And I think the biggest issue that Wisconsin football has had specifically is with the administration, whether that be lack of funds or organization and how they've approached NIL. Overall, I think this is a bigger Chris McIntosh issue than it is a Luke Fickell issue, which brings me to my less popular take that, as I mentioned, when Terrence was on the line, I got demolished on Twitter for posting this video where I essentially said, Luke Fickell's back, and I'm happy with that. Yeah. I believe that Luke Fickell is still a good coach deep down, and that he can succeed. And I want to see him succeed at the University of Wisconsin, despite all the evidence to the contrary, because he has not been good. He has been a very poor coach during his time at the University of Wisconsin. So I completely acknowledge all of the faults, all the areas in which he has been lacking since he has gotten to Wisconsin. We've talked about the numerous ones during these post-game shows. But I still think, and we got a glimpse of it tonight and finally got a result to go along with it, where he is a good coach. He does know how to motivate guys. He knows how to get guys rallied around himself and his vision. And he's always been a nasty, sort of tough, blue-collar kind of dude. He wrestled. He was a state champion wrestler at Ohio. He's a defensive-minded guy. And we're seeing, I think, the fruits of his labor and his vision now with this defense that plays with an edge we haven't seen since the peak Jim Leonard days, at least tonight. Mm-hmm. That was like a peak Jim Leonard defense type of performance. So just the news that Fickell's back, I like it. Yeah. I want to see Fickell succeed, and I think he can. And tonight we finally got concrete evidence that it is possible for Wisconsin football to succeed with Luke Fickell. So, again, at least for tonight, I'm vindicated.
With the Luke Fickell, the declaration that he will be the head coach in 2026, I was of the belief when I heard that statement, even before all the media appearances that followed, that Luke Fickell should have to use the next four games, even if we go 0-4, as an audition to keep the job. So I, A, didn't like that we were essentially looking forward to 2026, a.k.a. that's essentially saying we're writing off 2025 as a lost year. No, are we going to make the bowl game that everyone was hoping we'd go back and make and start a new 20-plus year streak? Probably not. But the idea of an athletic director writing off a season with a third of it left didn't really resonate well with me. I thought he should have put this challenge forward in the next four games, which, by the way, if he did that, today's a hell of a start. Beating the 23rd ranked team in the country, I thought the next four games should be declared as a tryout. And if there was going to be any statement at all for the sake of clarity, it was going to be, we're going to evaluate everything based on the next four games. Not, we're going to evaluate everything in the offseason, but I can tell you this, Luke's your guy no matter what happens. Because, yes, it provides clarity for the players, but it also gives the coaching staff and this team the luxury of, if they want to sit back and do nothing, which we saw today they clearly won't do, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen, at least to the head coach. Everything else will get evaluated. Mertzi, what was your thought on the message and the delivery of it?
Yeah, that's a really good perspective, Corey. And Riley, I appreciate you coming out with the nuanced view on this about how it was articulated vaguely at best.
At best.
it was very poor. And I don't. And the thing is like if you feel good about that. Chris, don't. Like, that's not what fans need to hear. You're not a politician. I realize you are to some level, but come out and just be you. Like, I know you care about this program. I know you're invested in this program. I know that you see the flaws in this program. I know you know what the flaws in this program are. What I appreciate, I guess, on some level is that he probably still had a chance to pull the plug on Fickell and save his own skin, and that's gone.
Yep.
He tethered himself to this ship. So obviously he believes in it. So more credit to you from that respect. Where I have a problem is that you brought in a guy 3 years ago who was the hottest coaching prospect in the country, an unimaginable coup for Wisconsin. You're $27 million in 3 years in, and the train has gone off the tracks. Now, I'm not saying there should be punishment for that. Like, if you still think there's a chance to get this back on, if you still believe in him, hey, that's your right, and you can get people to buy into this.
Sure.
You know, I still say good luck with that one. Yeah. There's a lot of people that are canceling their season tickets after this year, no matter what. So you're going to have to ride this thing out and come back from it. But don't tell me that you're getting a do-over. That's not why you hired someone of that character, you know, track record, capability. This has been a disaster. and just acknowledge that it's a disaster. And he kind of does. I'll give him some credit on that. He kind of does.
He still tiptoes around it,
but
though.
He does still tiptoe around it. And to me, like, Luke Fickell came in here, and now you're saying you're going to invest in NIL?
Yeah.
Why? What?
We're about 5 years behind.
What are you talking about? Like, this is a revelation? Mm-hmm. Why did Luke Fickell let that happen? Mm-hmm. If he could have gone anywhere, why did he come somewhere that was ill-prepared for this era? That doesn't make him look good.
No.
Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of questions that you go back on this and say, this, you know, whatever, man. Good luck. Hope that the stability factor, because I do worry about turning over another coach and who you're going to bring in, especially in a cycle where there's going to be like 10 to 15 like pretty prominent openings. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of competition. You probably overpay again for someone. Mm-hmm. Can you get the right person? Who knows? So if you feel like casting your lot with him, great. But let's not pretend that this hasn't been an utter disaster to this point and that he has to do a complete 180 to get this back even to the level that it was before, which was not what people were satisfied with. Hence, yep. Paul Chris getting fired coming off of a 9-4 season.
Exactly.
That's very well put.
Yes, and I totally acknowledge that, Mertzi, and agree. Like, he came in, the whole pitch, recruiting pitch with bringing in Luke Fickell was we're going to compete for championships. We're going to elevate Wisconsin
Correct.
To the next level, and it has been the opposite.
Exact
they
opposite.
Have gone yeah. from competing, at least being in the mix for championships, not they did compete for some Big Ten championships yep. and got close to a college football playoff a couple times.
The argument was we were going to take that next step because that's yep. what he did at Cincinnati.
Yes, and especially yeah. with an expanded playoff. Yep. Like, oh, Wisconsin be a shoo-in. Like, this should be – the college football playoff should be the goal every year under yep. a Luke Fickell coach team. He brought Cincinnati there in the four-team iteration.
Yep.
So why can't he do that at Wisconsin? So, and now he's pivoted also – which is why I also don't understand, why are you changing your goals now? Mm-hmm. Like, because he specifically mentioned, oh, next year our goal is to compete in the Big Ten. Yeah. It's like, dude, why stay consistent.
Don't reel it back.
Yeah. I still think that Luke Fickell can be a championship caliber coach. Mm. So if you believe in him, say that. Yeah. Say that our goals haven't changed. We still expect to compete for championships. Maybe it's not on the timeline we expected because everything has gone wrong. And you can blame injuries, you can blame NIL, whatever you want, but don't move the goalposts. Like, it's yeah. just so lame, and you're backtracking, and just the way McIntosh has handled this situation has been abysmal in my mind.
And to move the goalposts when I don't want to look too far ahead, but I've been schedule watching in 2026. It's hard not to when you see the gauntlet that Wisconsin's faced. Iowa has now been a ranked team at some point this year, so has Washington. So we're well above the halfway point in terms of who Wisconsin's played that was in the top 25 at some point. Next year is supposed to be a lot more gettable, unless those teams change a ton, which they can. We've yep. seen Indiana yep. flip on a dime in 1 year.
Yep.
So although I do think a Kurt Cignetti of the world is a one-off, there's
yes.
not going to be a whole lot of those.
Yeah.
But with that being said, next year's schedule is going to be more gettable to then – lessen your goals or make them what they perceive as more realistic for what might be a 3-9, 4-8, 5-7 football team is a little discouraging. And I agree with both of you that the delivery of the message of not taking it head on. The one thing he did straight up answer, and I will give Jason Wilde credit for this because he gave him no wiggle room for it, is Jason asked him on Wilde and Tausch earlier this week, do you have the financial wherewithal to cut ties with Luke Fickell if you had to? And Mac had no choice but to say yeah. yes or no, and he said yes. And then he said, if I had any reluctance of Luke Fickell being able to guide this program in the right direction, I would have cut ties already, or I would have made those changes, I'm paraphrasing at that point. But he said if they felt that they needed to do the buyout, they could do it, and they're not going to. So that gives me a small amount of confidence that, okay, this mm-hmm. program yep. is of the belief, if that is true, of course. NIL is still very murky waters in terms of the funding that different universities have and how they can handle the buyout and where that money comes from. But I did think that was interesting that the one direct answer we did get out of that was we could buy him out if we actually needed to.
I think that's a great point, Corey. Mm-hmm. A really good point, and that was a great question by Jason. Just kind of put him right out there and just was silent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and let him answer it. Because here's the deal. This is what gets talked about a lot. What, 25 mil? I've heard 25 to 27 mil yep. after this season. Mm-hmm. When you look at some of the breakdowns that have come out, economic, you know, the revenue that comes in on a Badger football season, hey, I'm not saying $25 million is peanuts, but there's income in and there's money out. And the income in is going to take a hit based on this decision.
Yes.
It's going to take a hit.
Absolutely. Yep.
People are not going to renew tickets. Fewer people means fewer beers and peanuts and pretzels sold at the game. Fewer jerseys bought. Less incentive to get on board in any way, shape, or form. Donations to the university. Like, this thing has a ripple effect.
Yep,
so you are making a
local
big, big, big bet. Yeah, and that's outside of anyone else's interest in this, right? That's just thinking from a UW standpoint of, like, the money. Like, $60 million, I believe it is, that this program brings in just internally. Now, that's not expenses and whatnot, but that's a big chunk of money.
It is.
You lose $20 million out of that, all of a sudden $25 million does not seem like as big a number.
Yeah, it's a very good point.
So he, you know, he's putting his – give him credit. He's putting his money where his mouth is.
Well said.
And that's this is just wishful thinking, but I just wish there was more transparency with college football and that we were able to see – like, it's – because – college football now has become a semi-professional sports
league.
Like, it's athletes are getting paid for their services.
Wait, what's the semi?
Exactly. It's not even, just that they're younger. That's it. That's the only thing that makes it semi-professional. They're getting paid to play football.
Yeah.
It's professional football. So why, just because they're technically still students and student athletes, we don't get to know where the money goes?
Yeah.
And it'd be a lot easier to pin the blame and figure out what the issue is if we knew exactly how much money was going to what specific thing and where all these channels are going. Because if they, which it sounds like they weren't, if they were investing as much money as Ohio State and this is the product we get in the field, it's pretty clear that it's on Luke Fickell.
Yeah.
But if you look at the numbers and Ohio State's outspending us by $30
million, then it's hard to point the finger at Luke Fickell.
Exactly. So it's a difficult situation. I wish there's more transparency. I don't think we're ever going to get it. So that's just throwing a penny in a well.
Do you think investors are going to buy this pitch in the offseason? That's my question.
Apparently, it sounds like at least some have. Where he's confident enough that they have made the changes where they're going to invest enough to flip things around on a dime.
Today will be on the Google Slides presentation. I can't confirm that.
Yeah.
No doubt.
We were capable.
Exactly.
We
did
this.
No doubt.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. So clearly he's convinced enough people, at least in his mind.
Yep.
But at least for the fan base, and we talked about this on the jump around with Nicole Auerbach of – or Auerbach, pardon me, of NBC Sports and SiriusXM, College Football Insider. I lost my train of thought. That is frustrating. When it comes to money, where am I trying to go with this?
Transparency.
No, I can't remember.
The
I completely forgot.
I tried to throw you a lifeboat.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was going to be a really compelling point too, which is really frustrating. We'll see if I can remember for the next segment. I'll think about it. I know I'll get it back, but I lost my train of thought. So it's just we're too deep into the weeds of Chris McIntosh and the money, this program, and
no, it's fair.
All the shambles that it's in.
Well, I did,
despite the win today,
it was
awesome.
I did want to take
that's
at least
Mr.
one
Optimus
segment.
Yes.
I did want to take at least one segment to just acknowledge the state of the program, and no matter what happened today, that is what happened earlier this week, because a lot has gone down since the last time we did this post-game show. But next segment, we're going to go back to celebrating the win, because we can't for now, at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
we will do that. We'll do helmet stickers and looking ahead to Indiana, 11 a.m. kick a week from today. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.
Post-game reaction continues next. This is ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
Fly,
Wisconsin College Game Day rolls on. Our final segment, we'll do some helmet stickers. We have a caller on the Cardless ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line, and we will look ahead. But first, ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day is presented to you by Coors Light. When you need to refresh on game day, choose a beer that's as cold as the Rockies, cold filtered, cold lagered, and cold packaged for peak refreshment. When the mountains are blue, you know what to do, and that's crush a Coors Light. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And we do have a caller on the ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line right now. I'm so sorry I am forgetting your first name, but I know you're in Mount Horeb, so out to Mount Horeb we go.
Yeah, it's Chris in Mount Horeb.
Chris, there we go. Chris. I'm so sorry, Chris. $5 yeah. Fine.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, yeah, just coming back from a celebratory prime rib dinner out at the High Point Steakhouse in Ridgeway.
Good choice.
Nicely done.
Yeah, feels good. It's just been a long time coming, and it's one of these things where you get down, and this is one of these seasons where it just felt like, okay, I'm just not going to follow what's going on. But you just, for somebody like me who's been, was taken to my first Wisconsin football game in 1973 against Wyoming.
Wow.
At age 4 years old, it's just in the blood, and you can't kick the habit, and it's just so great to see the Badgers and in a very sparse Camp Randall, to see them pull out a victory. It's emotional. After kind of a long drought, and they said on TV they hadn't beaten a ranked 10 team since 2021, beating Iowa, and that was a pretty bad Iowa team, actually, if truth be told, that year. But it's been a while. So I feel good. I mean, it just seems like that's how life is, right? You're kind of at the bottom, and everybody's down. But it was just to see the players excited and to see the defense just play the way they did, and just so tough. I mean, I think that having a defense like that, I mean, of course, we'll see how it goes next week against Indiana, but to have a defense that can play with a lot of energy, and we've clearly got some great athletes on the field there. Hopefully we can figure out the offense a little bit more, but I'm going to take this game and just savor it. So just wanted to put that in there. Glad that I was able to get on, and thanks for what you guys are doing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. And if you're still on as a former college wide receiver, what's it feel like to see a team win a game with basically 24 passing yards?
Well, I mean, we could. I suppose we could run the single wing if bust off the single wing offense. That may be what we have to go to. But, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before. But we'll take it.
Take the W. Take the W.
That we will, Chris.
Yeah. All right. Adam, we'll see you around.
Thanks for the call, Chris.
Good stuff.
I was going to say,
I was waiting for the shoe to drop.
About to ask, Adam, how'd you know this guy was a college wide receiver?
What kind of research were you IP'ing?
It was impressive.
VPN through the call?
Yeah exactly.
That is awesome stuff. Well, yeah, that is a passing performance and a game that we will not soon forget, that's for sure. So I don't think we're going to assign helmet stickers to anybody in the passing game, but I could be wrong. I'm just speaking for myself. That means it is time to give out those helmet stickers to the Wisconsin Badgers for the win today.
Let's see who earned it.
Jack Cinchy doing it all on this drive for the Badger D.
Melvin Gordon inside the 20. Uses the stiff arm. Hold on. Is he in? It's a Wisconsin touchdown.
Going deep. Down the left sideline. Man's there and got it. In stride. And it's Vinny Anthony. Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Time to give out some helmet stickers on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
All right. Corey Sp- Sparks, Adam Mertz, Riley out here with you, wrapping up the ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day post-game show brewed by Coors Light. Helmet stickers, essentially your player of the game or your game ball. I can kick us off here by just giving one to Ricardo Hallman because he was on the other end of a remarkable one-handed catch by Denzel Boston after a costly sequence of events for Wisconsin that gave Washington a short field. I thought it was defensive or offensive pass interference in real time, and then they rolled the replay back, and I just realized Denzel Boston's probably going to be playing on Sundays pretty soon. Remarkable
yes.
catch.
Yeah, he's good. Absolutely.
I just came to that realization. Ricardo Hallman's had a tough year, but then not long after, probably 30, 45 minutes in real time later, not even, he undercuts a route, and basically you described it perfectly when it was happening, Riley, runs the route for the respective receiver and gets his second pick of the season in what's been a pretty rough dry spell for him the last couple of years. It's tough to live up to a 7-interception season and one of the best of any defensive back in college football, but he has taken a step back production-wise. Mm-hmm. It was nice to see him get his second turnover over the course of a few weeks here.
Yeah. Totally agree, and I'm going to stick with the defense for my helmet sticker. I mean, Cooper Catalano is my player of the game. He was all over the field, a tackling machine. There's a reason he leads the state of Wisconsin in tackles for high school football, and he might lead the Wisconsin Badgers in tackles when his career is all said and done. He had 18 tonight. But a play we haven't mentioned that's actually huge. I'm giving my helmet sticker today to Ben Barton.
Yes.
Got his big old paw up there and blocked a game-tying field goal. We haven't talked about that at all.
No.
I don't know whether or not the kick goes in. We couldn't tell. It didn't make it past the line of scrimmage. Yeah. But
great call.
Does Wisconsin score another point in the rest of the game? I don't know. I don't know.
We'll find out.
It would have been a very tough ask for that offense to go down the field and get three more points. So Ben Barton with a field goal block. The entire defense was just playing out of their minds, and that was a game-changing play that I think will probably go overlooked today.
Great call. Mertzy?
I love it. You know, we could go with Sean West, the best offensive weapon at punter since our very own Brad Norman.
Exactly.
But, great call. But I'm going to go with Mason Posa with the strip sack. You know, that was a consequential play in this game. Mm-hmm. Again, we've talked through how Wisconsin could not put drives together tonight to give that short field and set them up for success for that huge touchdown to make this a game, to all of a sudden change the whole paradigm of the game. Mason Posa, man, you did it, and you finished this game off with that fourth down stop, too. So those two young linebackers, really impressive today.
You remove either of those plays, and I'm not sure
they
wins this football game, right?
Yep.
Ben Barton doesn't block it. It was 50-plus yards in the snow, so I do wonder if it goes through.
It's not a gimme.
But if Mason Posa doesn't get that strip sack, I quite frankly don't trust this offense to drive down the field. Yeah, so getting the short field was huge. All right, next week. It's Indiana, 11 a.m. kick. Mertzy, this is essentially where we do our final thoughts. I'll give it to you here first.
Hey, let's see this momentum continue. Again, like we've talked about, not expecting a win at Indiana. I mean, that would be we'd have to like step back and
collect
our thoughts on that one. So I'm not even going to put that in the realm of possibility at this point. But if this falls flat, if they come out and this is a domination from Indiana and people look disinterested and there's more disorganization on the offensive side of the ball or even the defensive side of the ball, like then you're like, what, last week was a fever dream and that's all it was, and you just caught everything at the same right moment, like lightning in a bottle, what now, just throw out all the phrases here, but you have to make it count. You have to make it count, guys. So go out there. You've got nothing to lose once again. And make Indiana sweat a little bit. Make it interesting.
I'll be looking for that positive body language next week for sure, too. Everybody was fired up from the get-go here. You knew they had a chance in this fight as soon as the freshman quarterback and Carter Smith goes out there and gets animated, or Catalano gets up and throws a fist pump. Riley, your final thoughts from today?
Yeah, I think you could make the argument, even with the lack of offensive output today, that this was the first complete 60-minute game we have seen from a Luke Fickell coach team at Wisconsin.
Agreed. I'm with you there.
Can you name any others?
No. The Rutgers was close.
That was
the
closest.
The only thing that I can offer.
But that game was still close.
Was.
One half of football
it was.
Before they took over, and that's typically how they've operated against lesser teams. They'll let them hang, and then they'll blow them out in the second half after they figure their stuff out. Today, from start to finish, that defense was on one. They were dominant. Like you've been saying, Mertzi, they forced Washington to make mistakes. And if they can do that next week against Indiana, I think they can hang around and make things interesting. Indiana, they're so talented. They're such a good football team. Kurt Cignetti, I think, will put them through the ringer this week after their close game against Penn State. So none of us are expecting a win against the Hoosiers. But if they play like they did today with hopefully a little more passing, just a little.
We're not asking for too much.
Just any semblance.
200% more passing?
Literally.
Your punter cannot lead in passing next week.
Yes, yes. If a quarterback leads the team in passing next week.
That's a step forward.
That is growth. That is positive momentum, and that is something good they've been building on, and I think they can keep it close with Indiana. So I am so happy. It is so refreshing and relieving to finally see the Badgers get a win and see these players and this coaching staff happy and fired up. And now let's keep it rolling.
Yeah.
Let's keep the good vibes rolling. Next week against Indiana. Come on.
I reflect what both of you guys say before we wrap it up. Mertzi, you brought up like validating this performance. Let this be the first of many. Don't let this be the one-off where 5 years from now it was a blip in the radar and the Luke Fickell experiment really never came to fruition, but that win against number 23 Washington was sweet. But then everything went back to normal. Don't let that be the storyline. Mm-hmm. Let it be the turning point. There's a lot of freshmen out there who are going to get better. They're going to get more mature. Mm-hmm. They're not going to commit unsportsmanlike conduct penalties on crucial two-minute drive situations, and they're going to get cleaner, and all of a sudden, it's not going to happen overnight, obviously, but you're going to build in a good direction. You don't have to win next week. If you do, we're having a whole
different conversation.
Yeah. But, have the positive body language, hang in there with them, put up a fight, and make sure that your punter is not leading the game in passing. I think those are all very tangible, realistic expectations
to have.
That's
doable.
Yeah. We can check those off.
Yeah.
We can consider those wins.
Wisconsin, baby.
A 13-10 winner. It feels oh so good. If you hung with us through the whole way, thank you so much. For Adam Mertz, Riley Yauch, my name is Corey Sparks. Owen Dimple holding it down at the ESPN Madison Everlight Solar Studios on 100.5. This has been ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, brewed by Coors Light.